is there a demonic kingdom under the water? I think we have to talk about it. What's up, that Supernatural Talk family? We got a good topic for you today. But before I jump into that, this is episode 9 of That Supernatural Talk podcast. And I also have a special guest that will be on here often to show you guys today. But before I even do that, we are going to tell you what the topic is. The topic today is going to be focusing on that demonic kingdom that is supposedly under the sea, the Marine Kingdom. Now, there's a reason that I have my new guest coming on today, because he is actually from a place where the Marine Kingdom is very popular and people worship mermaids and all those crazy things that go bump in the night. Yeah, that'll give you a big fright. He comes from Haiti. So we're going to be talking to none other than an awesome evangelist that's a part of this ministry. But before I do that, I know I'm saying a lot of before I do that. But just wait before I do that, okay? I want to introduce you guys to Glory Boy number one. We have Isaiah in the house.
Family, I've missed you. I know it's only been a week, but I've missed you. I've missed you so much.
He did miss you guys. He's a little bit emotional, so this means a lot to him. And then we have Glory Boy number two. We have Fido Keegs, Keegs Ice himself. Amen. In the Amen. House. I forget it. Why I called you Fido Keys. I can't even remember.
I don't know. There's so many nicknames now, I just really can't keep track.
People give you lots of nicknames.
I do have a lot. I have a lot of nicknames.
You know, the pod. I'm going to be real. Guys, comment right now. Do you love Keegan? Do you love seeing him on the podcast every week? All the normal viewers that watch this week after week, do you love Keegan? Because it's going to brighten his day up.
Comment below, please.
Yeah, he tries to come with that false humility stuff sometimes. So I just I got to make sure that he knows that people really love him. I think he knows that, though.
And then God.
You know that, right? Anyway, I'm done talking.
I love you guys. I'm done talking to you.
I got to get the next guy on. Today, you are getting the boot. So just go on, stand up, and invite your brother to come on over here. Come on over here. Oh, we have a true soldier coming in. Oh man!
Somebody just walked out the studio.
He just walked out the studio. He's fine, guys. It was prepared. It was prepared.
Amen.
But anyway, let me introduce you guys to Glory Boy number three. I think I almost got all my folks here that are gonna really do some awesome things. I want to introduce you guys to Mark Jean.
What's going on, everybody? It is an honor to be on here tonight, Apostle.
Yeah?
Privilege.
Look, Keegan's a tall man. You want to adjust that mic? You want to get it to where?
Yes.
To where it fits? All right. There we go. You relaxed?
Yeah. Nice and chill.
You nice and chill?
Yeah.
You feel good?
Feel good.
We're going to talk about it.
Come on.
We're going to talk about it. You ready?
Oh, yeah. I'm ready.
So, Mark, we need to talk today about that underwater kingdom that you wanted to talk about. The reason I've already talked about it on my last channel, my other channel, but I want to talk about it on this one too, especially with you here right now. By the way, Mark has moved down here. He's going to be seen a lot. He's going to be going with us everywhere. So I'm really happy to have Mark now being a Floridian. He went from a Georgian to a Floridian. Amen.
Florida boy.
He's a Florida boy now. Now look, Mark's from Haiti. What part of Haiti is your family from?
So actually, my mom is from the capital, Port-au-Prince, and my dad is from kind of like the countryside, and it's called Okap.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Have you ever visited there?
Actually, never.
You've never visited?
Never visited.
Wow. What states have? Where were you born? In Florida?
Yeah, I was born in Dade County, Miami, Florida.
I see you back home.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a lot of Haitians out there too. So
yeah,
yeah, OG low key Florida boy.
Yeah, he is.
For sure.
He don't know what to do. He just got here, and like it's cold in Georgia, and you're wearing shorts in Florida. That's how you know you're in Florida, man. That's how you know. So, but you've heard the stories your parents have told you about Haiti.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, a lot of stories. I mean, growing up, my mom told me a lot of stories. I didn't quite get it, but now that I'm a little bit older, and just learning about deliverance, I highly believe a lot of those stories were true.
Wow. Now, guys, I know I'm going to be focusing on talking to him in Haiti and stuff like that, and we have quite a few Haitian people in the ministry, actually. So he's going to be talking about, you know, some cultural things and stuff like that. But also remember, the Marine Kingdom is active everywhere. Mm-hmm. Anywhere you see a lot of seduction, people having a lot of rebellion, you're not seeing high marriage rates, birth rates going low, you know that Satan is in the mix. And the Marine Kingdom is notorious for those things. Now, some people will say, well, Daniel, you can't find the Marine Kingdom in the Bible. Well, actually, you have to have eyes to see and ears to hear, and you have to have revelation as you read, and you will see that the Marine Kingdom is very, very real. We can talk about Legion, Man at the Gadarenes, when he was acting crazy. Where did the pigs go? They wanted to go into the water. They ran off the cliff into the water. When Jesus was walking on the water, when the water was all over the place, he was showing his dominion over that kingdom, if you can understand it. Mm-hmm. And there's so much. I mean, even I believe Jezebel in the Old Testament, she's a Sidonian queen. I believe that area, that place she was from, was right next to the coast.
It is.
So right next to the water. It is?
It is. It's a port.
It's a port? So there you go. So, like, they were doing things in the water. They had to do their sacrifices in the water. So it was, and then, you know, they were doing stuff with, you know, sacrificing people and fire and stuff like that. So, you know, even Jezebel believes a marine spirit to an extent. Any spirit that I've seen that comes from that side of the kingdom is very, very talkative, very theatrical. They really puts on a show, literally. And people will say, why you got people in deliverance moving and doing all these things? I'm like, guys, if you have ever encountered demons, you've ever been to other countries, you'll understand. But if not, zip it, because you don't have understanding, you know? But anyway, now listen, I'll tell you this. I've come across voodoo before. Mm-hmm. Haitian voodoo. Mm. I had a Haitian man that came in my house years ago, and that guy had a demon in him. And that dude was like, I'm going to leave here, and I'm going to do voodoo on you.
Wow.
Yeah, he used to tell me all the time he's going to do voodoo on me, man. And I believe he probably was doing some voodoo, you know? He was probably voodooing it up. So he's probably really doing it, man. But, I went round and round with that guy for like months.
It's crazy.
Months. And he would sit there, and I'm telling some of the most derogatory thing. Man, looking back, I've been in some situations, man.
It's crazy, man.
So I've come against people that have, you know, been doing that voodoo and you know, all that mommy wata stuff, all that stuff. I've encountered a lot of those people, and you got to be strong, guys. You can't have weaknesses when you're coming against this. I mean, if your marriage ain't strong and you want to come up against these people, they'll see through that crack, and they will come and put a wedge between you and your family. Because remember, even in the Marine Kingdom, spirit spouses are very prevalent. Marriages, they do a lot of water stuff to cause marriages. Mm. You know, I've encountered people during deliverance where they say they went and did something to be married to this person. They get attached to this person, and the relationship becomes very horrible because it was formed through a ritual, a witchcraft ritual that was done from the water. But anyway, I just wanted to clarify that in the beginning, guys. I believe that water kingdom is real, just like Satan's the prince of the power of the air.
Yeah.
You know, so he does things in the air, things in the water, things on the land. You know, like we got the military, earth, land, water, air. Mm. You know, so it's kind of the same in a way. He has his armies everywhere. But I want to just talk about this part of that kingdom. Obviously, we are part of the best kingdom. We're part of Jesus' kingdom.
Amen.
The kingdom that beats all kingdoms.
Come on.
We got the general of generals, the king of kings and the lord of lords. But tell us some stories, Mark, that you've heard from your parents about stuff they've seen in Haiti that is from on the supernatural side.
Yeah, definitely. And Before I get started, a lot of people, I don't know, don't know that Haiti won their independence through witchcraft, through voodoo.
And, what?
Yeah. That's and crazy. Looking at the country today, you can see, you know, what rebellion leads you to, you know, and the land is, I mean, Haiti right now, it's upside down.
They don't even have a real government right now.
No government. I mean, wow. Literally, I mean, even the police government is completely corrupted. You know, a lot of them are leaving from being police officers to gangbangers, you know, which is completely crazy. But yeah, growing up, my mom told me a lot of stories about Haiti and things that might kind of startle you a bit. And you know what's so crazy? A lot of these things that she shared with me, they actually put it in movies. They put them in, even in Disney Channel and things like that. It's crazy. It's 100% real. I remember when I was about, I would say 15, my mom was telling me a story about how she used to be in Haiti. And she'll go out at night and she can literally hear people flying in the sky. And when she'll go out and look up in the sky, she'll see people flying.
She would see them.
Yeah, they're literally flying with your natural eyes opening. They're flying in the sky, screaming. Yeah.
I've heard some stories of that from Africa too.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard I was trained in Africa a little bit for preaching. Mm. And the woman that was training me, she was her family was killed in the genocide. Mm. So she would tell me stories about the same thing. They'd be doing evangelistic meetings and witches would be astral projecting over it.
Oh yeah.
And they would get caught, their bodies would catch up and they'd fall butt naked. Oh, right in God. The middle of the crusade field.
Oh,
some
yeah,
some of
yeah.
them would get saved. Some of them would die. Crazy stuff, man. Crazy, crazy stories.
Yeah, yeah. And I really believe, Apostle, that, you know, a country like Haiti, they deal with so much poverty and they don't have a lot of resources out there in that country. And a lot of those people, they have to rely on the supernatural. You know, if their kids get sick, if their family gets sick, they don't have the money to even go or afford, you know, to go to the hospital. So what they'll do, they'll go to a spiritualist.
Yep.
Or most of the time, you know, they'll fall into, you know, witchcraft, divination. And they, just as we as Christians believe in the power of Jesus, they believe in the power of Satan just as much, which is crazy. And
do the witch doctors have like a specific name?
I mean, they call them lugaus. Mm. You know, they have different terms right. to them, and it's very, very popular and common in Haiti. You know, witchcraft, it's everywhere, and they actually embrace it. They embrace it as a culture, and I can remember my mother, she was even telling me how a church, she did missionary work back in, the, like, about 10 years ago, she used to do missionary work with some friends. She told me how she went to a church, and they literally had a group of witches and warlocks that converted, that came into that church, exposing everything they did. And one of the guys, he literally brought a big book, like it was literally about that big, of just spells and all, just everything they learned in the occult of just witchcraft and things like that. And one of the ladies was saying how they would go out at night, specifically at night, and they'll turn literally into like a mermaid and jump in the water and go, like, there's literally like a whole city down there where they just worship and do whatever. And supernaturally, you know, realistically, naturally, a human can't breathe underwater too long, but you can tell there's something supernatural that's empowering that person. And it's
what is that? I think it's like 10% of the ocean is all that's been discovered or something like that.
It could even be less.
Yeah, I forget how much of it is. So that right there shows us there could be some things going on there we have no idea about.
Doesn't that remind you of the story of the prophet? What prophet told us a story?
No, I was about to say that.
Yeah.
We were with Prophet Andre, Prophet Leon and Prophet Andre in South Africa. And he told us something you just said. Mm. He told us that same kind of thing. He said he was in prayer and he said he went out in the spirit and he went into the waters. Wow. And this was in the spirit. He said out of body, in the body. He wasn't really sure. And he said he went into the waters and he went to this place. And in the water, he saw the cave and he saw where a witch was going to do a ritual in the spirit, in the waters. And I think the witch might even noticed him there or something like that. But anyway, and it something happened in that that he was able to find the exact location of some girl or something.
Two girls got abducted.
They got abducted
in the spirit, but their physical body was taken as well.
Wow.
Yeah, and he was taken into this like watery place, like underwater, almost like Atlantis, he said. And like when he took them out, when he rescued them out, those two girls were found like the next day or like that same day.
Wow.
And like the people came in and confirmed it and everything. And it was the people, he was supposed to have like a meeting with people. And there was like people in the meeting who had their children missing. And those people that the children was missing, it was him that rescued them by the Spirit of God. And it was crazy. It was wild.
Was that in Cape Town you did saw that? Or was this?
Where he told us a story?
Yeah.
No, that was
Cape Town?
No, that was when we were in Joburg. That was a Centurion. That was in Centurion. But I was actually talking about the story Prophet EJ told us about that cat. Remember how there was a cat?
Oh yeah, a person was turning into a cat. Yeah, yeah. And his dad saw it, and eventually his dad slammed the car thing on the cat and broke his leg. And then the wife started screaming because the husband had a broke leg in the house. She said, "Who broke my husband's leg?"
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he was
shape-shifting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's crazy that y'all even saying that, because the next story I was going to tell you, my mom literally, she was telling me a story about how these witches, they'll go in these like poor neighborhood, because a lot of the times the poor, they'll give in to that witchcraft. And it was one man, they turned him into a cow. It was crazy. And like he literally was a cow, like completely. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, no one they couldn't tell. No one
like it was an animal cow.
Yes, like an animal cow.
He transformed completely into
literally
a cow.
That stuff is real, and a lot of people don't believe it, and it's something that they, you know, one of the things I want to ask you, Apostle. I mean, faith. When it comes to faith, is this something that is just a spiritual law when it comes to just the good and the bad? Faith works for that. How does that, like, because I mean, people, a lot of the time people, they don't believe.
It's perverted. It's perverted. Perverted faith. Perverted faith is what these witches and people are using.
Transfiguration is very real. You know, she even shared stories of pastors that claim to be pastors, and they were literally warlocks, you know. And I remember my mom was a prayerful woman, and she was praying in her room. It was her and all her friends, her missionary friends, that were praying because they were on a missionary trip in Haiti. And as they were praying, they saw the pastor came into the room, like literally appeared in the room. And then he turned into this beast. And as they were praying and praying and praying and praying and praying, the man just kind of disappeared. Mm. So it's some crazy, spooky stuff, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah. There's astral projecting in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what blows my mind, man of God, is that this happens in another continent as well. Mm. So it's like, it's not just like it's local just to this place. That's what gets me. It's like, if it was just happening in Haiti, they can be like, oh, this is folklore, right? But then when we have a country or a continent thousands of miles away having the same similar things happening, yeah. I'm like, hold on now.
That don't even know each other.
Don't even know each other, have no idea who they are, and they have similar stories, similar testimonies. It's crazy.
You remember when we were in Coral Springs, I think, Florida,
mm-hmm.
and that guy, I forget his name, he told us a story about being in Haiti. And he was in his bed, and he heard this boom, shh, boom, shh. It was like chains being dragged. And he said he was hearing it outside, and eventually it opened the door. It slammed his door open, and he knew it was there. He said he jumped out of bed ready to fight it, like in the physical. He said, man, it's either going to get me or I'm going to fight it. He went up to fight it, and I think he said something like, in Jesus' name, or something like that, and then it just went away. But he said he could feel the physical presence. You heard the noise. You could hear it from outside to the point it opened the door. He said it was really crazy, really scary. And that was in Haiti.
Wow.
That was in Haiti. So, like, here's the thing. Us people in America, us Americans, we are very pampered. So much so, our spiritual awareness is kind of like dull.
Yeah.
And if you go to these countries where there's risk of a lot of stuff and it really requires you to live by faith, that's where you're going to see the crazy things. That's where you're going to hear the crazy stories. If you don't put yourself in these situations, if you're not willing to step out off the cliff, step out on the ledge, you're not going to have crazy stories.
Wow.
You know, like me and Isaias, we got a crazy story of just driving down the road and seeing a whole man jacked up in the middle of the road, which we believe it was either gang related or it was either sacrificial. And that was South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
wow.
Like you got to go places to experience stuff.
Yeah, so true.
And these are in countries where there's very high spiritual witchcraft, high spiritual, just paganistic things in general. There's like, this stuff's always happening.
Wow.
So here's the thing, America, my people, my American brothers and sisters. Actually, the kingdom of God is my people, but in the natural, I'm an American. Y'all want to keep letting it get darker. You want to keep letting sin abound. You want to keep letting all this stuff happen. And guess what? You will see spiritual entities.
Yeah.
And they will be very real. So some people are like, yeah, let us do what we want to. But you forget that Satan's kingdom thrives off of the flesh. It thrives off of the flesh and it thrives off of sinful habits and sinful ways. So if you want that life, because I know there's probably going to be unbelievers listening to and watching this. If you want that life, then get ready to deal with supernatural attacks from the enemy and fear and presences that you don't want around you and all these different types of things. Mm-hmm. So if we keep allowing things to get darker and the church doesn't stand up, we're going to have to deal with some stuff. You know, yeah. It's better that we deal with it now. We deal with it now through the power and authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You know, you talk about as a whole city under the water. Mm. That brings to my mind Atlantis.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And when you think of Atlantis, you think of Aquaman. Mm-hmm. Or you think of mermaids.
Mm-hmm.
You think of these fish creatures.
Advanced civilization.
Mm. Advanced technology, advanced civilization. I mean, even if we think about Egypt, if you see where the pyramids are, I don't think they're too far from water, especially the Nile, major ones.
No, the Nile, it's near the Nile.
So I believe, now this is my opinion, because there's many different opinions, but I believe they got information in Egypt from falling beings that had supernatural knowledge in order for them to build those temples. And if you really look at the geography of where they are, how they're pointed, there's even something crazy to like
the stars and
their positioning.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild.
Mm-hmm.
So they got this knowledge from somewhere. Let me tell you guys something. Knowledge comes from somewhere. All knowledge comes from somewhere. It's got all knowledge has a source. It ain't just something you just came up with. Okay, so I mean, all knowledge is spoken and brought forth from somewhere. Like we read the Bible, we know God's heart and his mind through his word. That's knowledge, that's wisdom that's given to us. But it's the same thing in the dark kingdom. They have books, they have things, they have their demonic wisdom that they want to pass on so that this agenda can be pushed, you know? So a lot of this stuff, people don't know it, has been passed down through fallen beings and through stuff like Marcus saying, like these having these demonic entities coming up in the flesh and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And teaching people how to do spells and all this stuff so they could turn people into cows and stuff.
It's crazy, man.
I had a little joke. I said he would have been that dude that became a cow would have lived good in the Hindu world. He would have been straight.
It's crazy.
Yeah, straight.
You know, it's funny though. I look at animals sometimes. I've had a couple times in my life I'll be like, why that thing look like it got a man's eyes? You ever thought that?
Like a human is in there.
You look, you'd be like, don't clip this, guys. Isaias said that. I didn't say that. Y'all want to clip him, that's fine. But I the supernatural world is way bigger than we think.
Amen.
So if they can shapeshift into creatures and animals and all that, you could probably be sitting there and be like, something ain't right with that dog. Something ain't right with that buzzard right there. Something ain't right. We call them monitoring spirits. People who shapeshift into animals come and want to monitor. Mm. You know, witch doctors, they monitor through owls. They monitor through all these things, you know. Yeah. They're monitoring spirits. Wow. So,
you know, that's so crazy that you said that. It's something you said earlier about the story about when the demons asked Jesus, can we go into the pigs? And then it's interesting how the pigs went into the water. It's almost as if it was just a portal back into that marine kingdom realm. As you were talking, I was just thinking about like the fallen angels that came down and how the sons of God slept with the women, the daughters of men, and they produced these what we call Nephilims, and God was for the first time repentant, and he flooded the earth. And I'm thinking about something, you know, if at that time when the demons asked Jesus to go into the pigs, even at that time of Noah, do you think that those spirits went into animals to bypass that flood? You know, they like entered into the marine kingdom and survived that through animals. Mm.
The spirits of the Nephilim?
Yeah.
Well, they would have to die first to go into the animals. So I would say no, because they still had their physical bodies. So the flood would have to take them out first. And then so then they became disembodied spirits because they can't inherit salvation. You know, the lake of fire isn't there yet. Mm. So they're just wandering spirits looking to inhabit a body because they have no place for rest.
Wow.
You know, they're restless. So I think this is what I think. I think when they got flooded, the Nephilim got took out, the giants got took out. Their bodies, their disembodied spirits are still moving around, but they can inhabit animals.
Wow.
You know, because some of them were half human, half animals, you know, so they can inhabit animals, they can inhabit people. Demons can even move around furniture and do all that stuff, you know.
Wow. It's crazy.
So I would say probably not, you know, but.
Wow.
You know, it's crazy, man. God, remember what Prophet Andre said about like the specific locations on the coast? How like, if we really look at the geography of a lot of cities, a lot of the biggest cities that like have heavy, like, you know, perversion or like sexual morality or like drug use or like, you know, that like freeness, that pride, you know what I'm saying? A lot of the cities, a majority of the cities are near water.
Yeah.
You got like Rio de Janeiro, it's on like a coast. I didn't even know that until the other day, which is wild. Wild. Brazil's wild. Then we have Miami. Then we have San Francisco. You know, these are like crazy places. Then we have other places. What's another place? What's that place in New York, Thousand Islands, or where the carnival is? Okay, whatever. There's another one in California too. Malibu Beach, Malibu. Like these places are like crazy, like up there, like with all this like lust and. You see women all over the place. You see guys all over the place. And they're like almost very similar. And you could say because the beach or whatever, but it's almost like that environment brings something out of people.
Oh, absolutely.
It's wild. It's wild.
I mean, we walked in Miami. You know, I'd say Miami's the worst.
Miami's crazy.
Even compared to Cali. Mm. I've seen Cali beaches. Mm-hmm. And then I go over and I see Miami Beach. And I ain't saying Cali's all like all gravy, you know, but Miami's tough, man. Miami's tough. And I think it's because you got like you have the Brazilians, you have the Dominicans, you have the Haitians, you have the Puerto Ricans, you have the Cubans. Like, you know, you have all the island folk that are right there, right there in the in Miami. And the island folk, I mean, they bring a lot of their traditions.
Yeah.
And if you walk around Miami, You see the evil eyes. You see the crystals. You see the psychic shops everywhere. You see the Santera shops. I mean, the brewery shops. All that. You see all that stuff. Just like if you go to, you know, you go up here up north and you go to some of these, you know, places like in Virginia and other places, you see high Freemasonry where you have stronger white populations. You see a strong Freemason following. But there's also the black side of the Freemasons, too. The Prince Rites, and not Prince Right, Prince something. You got the Scottish Rite. You got all that stuff. That's a whole nother teaching. But I'm saying all this because if a person is led by certain spirits, that spirit wants to be in a land that it can be strong in. You see? So if you have a marine spirit in you, it's going to draw you near the water. You know, and then the Lord, what he will do is he'll send men and women of God into these areas to thwart the enemy's plans and to disturb, you know, what's happening.
That is so crazy you just said that, because I can remember my I had a Haitian friend in high school that was from Haiti, and he would tell me how a lot of people would mysteriously die in the waters. Like, you know, just tragic stuff. Like, you know, they'll go swimming or they'll go near the beach and they're gone. And it was very common. It's very, very, very common in Haiti. And I believe that a lot of, you know, these people that worship marine spirits, these marine spirits are demanding a sacrifice. They're demanding blood. And a lot of times it's from their family, their relatives, or a loved one, and you literally don't see them no more. Something happened, they drown in the water, they mysteriously disappear. And I can even remember a time when I was, I think it was two times in my life, when I was about six, literally sitting by the pool and my feet, just kicking my feet in the water, and I felt a hand grab me and pull me down. Like, literally the water just pulled me down, and I'm just 12 feet in, and I'm a little dude at that time, so I'm just drowning, and somebody had to come and pull me out of the water. I don't know who it was at that time. I can't remember.
Hold on, bro.
It's crazy.
Hold on, bro. We got to talk about this. Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on.
It felt like a force. Like, I mean, me being six, to remember that as clear as day, it was so real.
But wait. So you're sitting on the edge of the pool or something?
Oh,
are you in a pool? You're at a pool?
I'm not even in a pool. I'm sitting on the edge in the 12 feet area.
Of the pool?
Of the pool.
Okay, and you're sitting down.
Yep.
And you're chilling. Mm-hmm. You're just chilling. Is it like nighttime? Is it daytime?
It's like, evening time.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So sun's like going down.
Yeah.
Okay. And you feel a hand, like a physical hand.
Yeah.
Like aggressively pull you. So you're not just slipping in the water.
Yeah. I felt the force coming from the water, if I would say. It's like a force. Like, I felt the water having a personality. It's very strange, as if it came as a person. The water itself, it was very strange. And it pulled me. It pulled me down. And mind you, I'm not sitting like where I'm at the edge, you know, of the concrete. I'm like literally sitting far away from the water, but my feet is just enough to just kick the water. It just pulled me in.
So then you get pulled in,
mm-hmm.
and then does it continue to pull you, or is it like trying to hold you down, or is it just you get pulled in and that's it?
Yeah, it pulled me, and I was held down in the water. Like, I'm screaming in the water. Wow. Water's coming in my lungs. And at that time, I believe I was with my brother at that time. But he was not around in that moment. I think he went somewhere or in the back somewhere. But as I can imagine I was probably there for about underwater for about 30 seconds, just screaming. And someone just came, jumped in, and pulled me out. And the second time was I was around 16.
And where was that incident at? Where did that happen at?
In Miami, Florida. Wow. At one of my mom's friends. Wow. Neighborhood, we just went out. All the kids used to just go out swimming in that pool. Wow. It was like a community pool. It was crazy.
Okay, and the next time?
And the second time was I went to Six Flags White Waters. A whole bunch of kids were out in the pool. And I came in probably around in the 5 foot area. I was about 15 at that time, the 5 feet zone of the pool. And as I'm just standing in the pool, I literally felt from the top of my head like something pulled me forward into the water. And I couldn't even pull myself back up. Mm. Like I'm literally drowned, like my face is in the water. Can't even, like, I was stuck.
And you didn't have like cousins or like homies trying to mess with you and like
not
trying
at all,
to dip
not,
you in the water?
Not at all.
There was no one near you that could have done that?
No one. Like I had a knowing because I felt it pulled me. And I was literally stuck. And at that time, I knew the Lord. I gave my life around 13, but I was 15 around that time. And I remember just saying Jesus in my heart. And then I pulled up out of the water.
Wow.
And the reason why I'm telling that story is because, Apostle, you're right. A lot of the times people don't know, like a lot of these tragedies that happen around the ocean of people drowning in boats or mysteriously just disappearing or a shark bite or something. A lot of it is tied to marine spirits in the water. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Mm. You know what's crazy, man of God? I completely forgot about this until Evangelist Mark starts talking. But like, I almost drowned. And I was like 6 years old, 7 years old. I was young. And like, I'm in the water and I'm tall enough because I was a tall kid, like a little kid. I'm tall enough to like come down in the water and like kick myself up. You know what I'm saying? Like when you don't know how to swim, you hit the ground and come back up. And like, I'm on my way to like the edge. I'm like a foot away from the edge. And like, I reach out to try to grab the edge because I can't swim. I'm like jumping up and down. I'm running out of breath. And like, it's like I'm stuck. It's like, I'm like a foot away, less than probably a foot away. And I'm stuck and I can't, and I'm swimming. I'm like, trying to paddle or something. I need to just get to the edge. And I couldn't get to the edge. And I start screaming. My mom was there. And I'm like, I don't even think I started screaming. I think I was just like freaking out. Cause I'm like, yo, I'm about to die. And I'm right next to the edge. And my mom jumps into the water. And I think she like maybe like taps me a little bit. But I was big enough to swim around and maneuver like and like jump around this whole pool the whole time. And for some random reason, I couldn't get to the edge in this moment. And it was like I was held or like froze. Like, I can't even explain it to you. And I'm paddling, and I'm not even moving. And I'm like swallowing water and stuff, and I'm like going down. And I'm like, I'm about to die in this pool, and I'm right in front of the edge. Wow. It's crazy. My mom jumps in the water and saves me. It's wild. So when he says that, I was like, whoa, that's crazy. Yeah. I just remembered that.
You know what's wild?
What?
I got the same type of story.
No
wow.
way.
I got
almost drowned.
Really?
Yeah, when I was around the same age. Like
wow.
And my aunt had to jump in the pool and save me. My aunt
jumped wow.
in the pool and saved me. Yeah, I was drowning at the deep end of the pool.
I've never seen my mom move like that. I wasn't even at the deep end. That's the crazy part. I wasn't even at the deep end, man. Man of God, as close as I am to this desk, I'm probably like maybe a foot and a half away from this desk. That's how far I was. Wow. Like where I could reach it with my hand. But for some reason, when I would reach, I wasn't grabbing the edge. Mm-hmm. My mom had to get up. Jump. I never seen my mom move up that day in my life. To this day, I've never seen her do that. And she saved me. It was crazy.
You guys let us know your stories. Did y'all have any stories where y'all almost got took out by the Marine Kingdom or you just almost drowned?
Man.
You know, I mean, here's the thing. Satan wants to stop us from getting to the point we are now because he knows we're going to destroy his kingdom. We're going to do the work of God. He's going to throw everything he can, especially if he knows we've been marked. If we've been marked, he's like, I want to stop these guys, you know. The cool thing about all of us, my mom laid hands on me. She y'all know her. She ain't even that strong of a Christian. I mean, she's a Christian. She says she loves God and stuff, but she has her ways, right? So she laid hands on me, said, God save my son. She marked me.
Marked.
To change the whole trajectory of my dad's side and my mom's side, to change my generations completely. Wow. Like, I'm the first of my own kind.
Amen.
I'm the first charismatic, tongue-talking Christian in the whole family,
wow,
as far as I know. And I hear y'all stories about your mom, how she was a missionary. I mean, it's the DNA. It's that they've made a way.
Yeah.
So your mom started. Now here you are, Mark. And here's Isaiah, whose mom's a whole pastora. She's a whole pastora.
I always say pastora. I love
She's
how you
a
do
whole
that.
Pastor.
We got a whole church congregation. She's ministering to.
Don't stop saying pastora, please. Pastora. That's like iconic. It's like
yeah, iconic. And you know, he's over here serving the kingdom.
Come on.
His dad got took out early. You know, the enemy had plans to take him out too, to eradicate the men's side of the family. Mm. And here he is. So one common denominator is the enemy tried to take us all out at some point. We probably had some close calls with death, but here we are continuing on so with the cause of Christ to stop the kingdom of darkness. Wow. And yes, is there a marine kingdom? Yeah. Is there a kingdom on the earth too that the enemy uses? He uses all the elements, all the things to try to, you know, achieve what he wants to achieve. So it's definitely out there. And if you do a deeper research, a deeper study on the marine kingdom, you'll find out that it's very real and people actually do encounter mermaids. And some of the mermaids will come and sleep with them. And some of the mermaids will come and give even people powers.
Wow.
Falsely walk around like a minister, you know, and to do their bidding. But you can always tell, because the things about these spirits is they, like you said, Mark, they require a sacrifice. They need to get something from you. They need to be fed for power. Even in Santeria, though, you have to give them sacrifices. You
actual
give
them food.
Food, cigars. When we were in Thailand, it's the same thing. Food, drinks, money, just giving them to these idols that don't do anything for them. They were literally praying to these things. Ganesha and Shiva and all these things, like, you know, in Hinduism, same thing. So it's there's a common thing.
Wow.
If people had their eyes to see, they'd see it. When it comes to these idols, they all require a sacrifice, something.
I told you about my cousin, right?
It's crazy. Huh?
I told you about my cousin, how his grandma was a santera, like strong, high-level santera, where, like, you had spirits and apparitions moving through the house, like whole parties of demons. And, like, she assigned one to him when he was young. And, like, he could speak to this thing. He's not a santero, but, like, that's how crazy it was. And he said that He told that the spirit asked him whatever he wanted, he'd give it to him, right? And he asked him for money. And I think that same day he got like $1,000 or like $2,000 or something. This is like a while ago, like 10 years ago. And the next day he broke both his legs. Wow. Broke both his legs the next day.
Wow.
And it was the santero. And he was, but watch, this is where it gets even crazier. He's like, what happened? Why'd you break my legs? And he's like, you asked me for something and I needed something in return. Like, the spirit was telling him, like, I needed to take your legs. That's how it works.
It also reminds you of, like, these celebrities and stuff that do these sacrifices. They have to give up something to get that level of success and fame. They have to set up, like, crazy stuff, and, you know, to be able to wear that hat.
Wow.
That's so crazy.
So, yeah, it's pretty wild. But anyway, Mark, thanks for being here, man.
Yeah, it was an honor to be on here tonight. It was amazing. Yeah,
thanks for sharing. You guys are going to see Mark way more. He'll be on here. Hopefully we can get a nice setup where we can have multiple people, like more than just me and him. I'll have to figure something out. We got room.
We got room.
We can finesse it. We can have, like, we can get us a nice couch, get us another few mics like this, and, you know, have four or five of us on here having some nice convos.
Well, that'll be a vibe.
I think we can make it happen.
You can finesse it. You can finesse it for sure.
But anyway, guys, episode 9. I think you have a little bit better understanding of the Marine Kingdom, that of just Satan's kingdom in general, and to know that it's real, you know. But we who have Christ in us have the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, which has seated us in heavenly places with him, which has seated us above all powers and authority, who has put Satan not only under the foot of Jesus, but because we are in him, Satan's under our foot also. We can shine a light so bright that we make Satan go night-night, if you know what I mean.
Amen.
So Satan, he can't win because he's defeated. He can throw some battles, but if you're in Christ, you're way above him. Way, way, way above him. So let's keep shining the light of Christ everywhere we go, everywhere we are, and be a light to people that are lost in darkness, because there's a lot of people out there that need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. All right. So if you guys are just now watching this, make sure you hit the subscribe button, like, and share. Also hit that notification bell so you'll be notified when every new podcast is coming out. You want to know where I'm going to be? Supernaturallife.org. You can also become a forerunner, or you can all by going to the supernaturallife.org and also become a member here on this channel so you can get all the behind the scenes content that we put out and any other special thing. You'll get access to that also. But episode 9 is in the books. Remember, guys, Christ is the light that we want to shine to this dark world. I'll see you guys on the next episode.